Today to the book of Matthew, chapter number 22. Matthew chapter 22. We'll get right into the message tonight. I'm looking forward to preaching here for a little while. The Lord's given us something to talk about, something to preach about. And we've been going through the ABCs of the Christian life. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we want to welcome you to the service tonight. We want to encourage you to let us know you're out there. Say hello. Drop in a word there in the comments. Turn your Bible open if you have it to Matthew chapter 22. Probably one of the most important, more important sermons you ever hear in your life, because it's dealing with what Jesus calls the first and great commandment and the second one, which is likened to it. And so I think it'd be very, very important for all of the church family and believers in Jesus to get their Bibles open and turn to Matthew 22 and verse number 37. If you're there, say amen. Now let me encourage you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, let's read this out loud. Begin. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In is for neighbor. In is for neighbor. Father, we ask that you'll take the little message today and use it to do great things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, congregation. You may be seated. Let me first off by just simply answering some drawing attention to some interesting facts here about this passage of Scripture that stick out to me. And I think it's very, very clear. Most of us, how many of you, to be honest here, have read this passage or heard this before ever in your life? Would you raise your hand? How many have ever heard this love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself? But how many of us can honestly say that we make an effort to do this in our Christian lives? How many of us can honestly say today that we strive to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and mind and strength and neighbor as ourselves? Let me first off by just drawing your attention to a couple of facts. Number one, we ought to love God first and foremost in our lives. There shouldn't be a neighbor you love more than you and I love God. I don't care if that neighbor is your spouse or your husband or even your own life. Your greatest love and your greatest desire ought to be to God first and foremost. I tell you children out there, Naomi and Arissa and Isaac and Casey and all the rest, I want all y'all listen now, all your children. God has laid a claim upon your soul by the divine hand of authority in heaven. And that claim is that you should love your Creator, your Maker, your God first and foremost before you ever love a boy, ever love a girl, ever love your own moms and dads, because sometimes you don't. But you ought to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And as a Christian, as an adult man, God still has laid that claim upon my heart. You ought to love me more than you love anybody. You ought to love me more than you love preaching. You ought to love me more than you even love the Bible. You ought to love me more than you love your children. You ought to love me more than you love your job. You ought to love me more than you love your truck. You ought to love me more than you love your Cadillac. You ought to love me. Am I preaching this evening? You ought to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. First and foremost. Number two, you ought to love your neighbor. I noticed very carefully how Jesus said that. Thou shalt love thy neighbor in verse 39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The word neighbor simply means near. It's where the word neighbor comes from, the word near. The one who is near, the one who is nearest to you. If y'all got a neighbor in the church today, that person that is nearest to you is your neighbor. Whether you like them or not, that's your neighbor today. The English dictionary defines it as anyone near us in terms of location. Now, when we try to decipher whether or not we're going to love our neighbor, we don't go by location. We go by what we want to, what we feel is comfortable to us, don't we? We don't actually love our neighbor who is nearest locally. We love the one that is nearest financially. We love the ones that are nearest to us academically. Now, we'll be okay with loving the ones that are nearest to us racially. We'll love the one that is nearest to us politically. We base our love on factors before we base our love on fact. We measure out our love due to circumstance rather than commandment. Are y'all listening today? We pick and choose who is our neighbor based on the nearness they have to our own worldview, political position, circumstances in life, career, or whatever else we want to throw in the mix, rather than simply loving our neighbor because they are near us. They are nearest to us at this particular time. And so we ought to love our neighbor without qualification, without stipulation, without circumstance. We ought to just love whoever's the closest to us at this particular time. Sister Bonnie's sitting by herself. We ain't got a neighbor, so she's okay. But anybody else is sitting besides Brother Stewart ain't got a neighbor, so he ain't going to be worried about it. But whoever comes to sit next to him, whether they're white or yellow or red or black, he is to love them simply because they are sitting next to him. My friends, we cannot stipulate who is going to be our neighbor this week. We got to just take God's word for what God's word says. And that is so foundational to the Christian life. That's why the pastor's preaching to you today on the ABCs of the Christian life. You've got to love your neighbor simply because God said so. Amen. Number one, what is a good neighbor today is what I want you to think about. How many of you have been hearing the word neighbor a little bit more often in the news and things lately? What is a good neighbor? What is a good neighbor? Now here's the problem. The only thing with what I got to say today is because I got the Bible to back it up. That's the only problem. The only issue that I have today is that it's not my word, it ain't the governor's word, it's the Bible, Jesus himself. And he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A good neighbor, number one, is somebody who loves God above all. Who loves God above all. If Jesus Christ lived down the road from you, stop and think about that. What if he lived down the road from you? Wouldn't he just be the best neighbor you could possibly have? I mean, anytime you wanted him to pray about anything, you just go see Jesus. Anytime you got sick and you needed somebody to call on, before you even ran to the doctor, you just called Jesus. 911 Jesus. Amen. J-E-S-U-S. Wouldn't he just be the perfect, most loving, kind, and godly neighbor? Yes, he would. I think even the lost community would say, well, he'd be a good neighbor, as a matter of fact. He would be. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How much did Jesus love God? How much greater is Jesus' love to God than any of these lesser loves compared to that love? Jesus loved God supremely. Jesus loved God first and foremost. He fulfilled exactly everything that he's telling us to do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind and strength. That was a commandment that was given all the way back in the book of Leviticus. In the same book, or the book of Exodus, it said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's houses. Thou shalt not covet whatever was thy neighbor's. And then it talks about you should love your neighbor. And you shouldn't curse and lie to your neighbor. And I want you to know these aren't things that just happened yesterday. These are principles that God has spoken thousands of years ago. And these are things Christ said was the main things. That you love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And that you love your neighbor as yourself. He's not asking us to do something that he himself has not done. He's not commanding us to do something that he himself has not followed in direct obedience unto. Jesus loved God supremely. And that is why he is able to command us to do the same. A good neighbor is somebody who loves God above all. Jesus would make a great neighbor. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he loves God supremely. His sympathies lie greater than the sympathies towards man. His greatest sympathies lie with God. Now, I've known some church members that got out of the way in their Christianity simply because their sympathies were tied in with Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so. And that's all fine and well for us to be sympathetic to one another as we should be. But I would rather have a church house filled with people that are mostly sympathetic to loving God. Amen, that's right. I'd rather have a full church house that was loving God and serving him and putting him above their own needs. Amen. A good neighbor is someone who loves God above all. Number two, A good neighbor is someone who loves their self the way God would have them to. He didn't say, thou shalt love thy neighbor, period. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many of y'all had your coffee today? How many of you had brushed your teeth today and took care of your teeth? Some of you still got your teeth. Praise the Lord for that. You have something to take care of. Amen. How many of us put deodorant on and took showers? Some of you, you put your perfume on in your cologne. You got your favorite shoes on, your favorite socks. You take care of yourself. Praise the Lord. You get your popsicles and you get your ice creams. And some of you wait in long, extended lines just to get that specific cheese block that you have to buy or that particular meat item that you get. You take care of your flesh. And God says the way that you take care of your flesh and you love yourself, that is a similar way that you should love your neighbor. A good neighbor is someone who loves their self appropriately. Let's look to Jesus again for our example. Did Jesus get the rest that he needed? Yes, Jesus did rest. He gave himself rest. He got food. He got sun. He got shade. He got water. He got friends. He got purpose. He got shelter. Even the Son of Man realized his body was to be taken care of in this life. And you and I cannot really and rightly love others when we ourselves are not taking care of ourselves. Somebody say amen. It's okay. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You should ask things from God so that when people ask things of you, you know how to give. Amen. You should seek forgiveness from God so that when somebody seeks forgiveness from you, you know how to extend it. You should look to God for his goodness so that when people look to you for goodness, you can bestow it. You ought to plead and ask God to send his graces upon you so that you can extend that grace upon others and share that goodness and grace of God. You should not willingly harm yourself in any way. I'm against self-mutilation and self-injury. That's not of God. I tell you what, that's not of God. It's not of God for you to harm yourself in any way. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know you ought to take care of your body. You ought to make your body look as beautiful as you can make it, amen, without hurting it and harming it and robbing it of the nutrients that it needs. You ought to get your sleep. Be careful how much caffeine you drink. Amen, that's right. You ought to just take care of that old body. If you're not going to take care of yourself, then how in the world are you going to take care of others? I'm telling you what, my friends, a good neighbor is somebody that loves God first and foremost and loves their self the way God would want them to love themselves. God loves you. Do you know that? He does. And it's good for you to embrace that love, accept that love. Because if you can do it, then you can share the true love of God with other people. Some people are afraid of love. Some people have had bad fathers growing up. And when they talk about God being their father, it really doesn't register. Because they had such a terrible earthly role model. Other people have had bad relationships and bad experiences. And some of them to this day hold a grudge and bitterness against God, as though it was God's fault that they made the choices and the decisions that they made. But I want you to know, God is a loving God. And he gives grace and glory. And he gives and he answers prayers. And God is nearest to those that are of a broken and contrite spirit. How come that when you go to a prison, everybody hands out the King James Bible? Because they need the love of God even in jail. Amen, that's right. They ain't handing out Korans. They're handing out English Bibles. Amen, that's right. How come when you go to a funeral, you have a minister stand and preside? And I don't care if you're religious or not. There will be a minister of some stripe, of some kind, and they will read the Word of God. Why is it that when you dedicate your babies, that you dedicate them and there the Word of God is present? I want you to know that God does love you. God does care for us. And he will meet us and he will comfort us. And we need to accept God's good love in our lives. To make good neighbors out of us. Well, if I'm just all mean to myself and hurting myself, amen, Brother Randy, if I'm just so mean to myself all the time, I'm not going to be a very good neighbor to everybody. I love myself the way God would have me to love myself. Number three, This is what I want to get to tonight. And I want to read some things to you that I've written down. I want to make sure I say it. I want to go on record as saying it. And I want you to think about it and pray about it. And most of you, I think, you have the right foundation in your life. This ain't going to be a problem with you. But I want to really focus on that word, just as it is, thy neighbor. That literally is saying the person nearest to you, literally, physically, locally. A good neighbor is someone who loves others regardless of conditions.
Amen.
Now, we've been hearing this, be a good neighbor, for quite some time. But I want you to know Jesus said it a long, long time ago. If you're red, yellow, black, or white, if you are near me today, I am commanded to love you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If I say something that's right, y'all let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
If you are rich or poor, healthy or diseased, smart or stupid, learned or unlearned, bond or free, male or female, young or old, married or divorced, y'all listening? Republican or Democrat, Baptist or atheist, if you're moral or immoral, if you're a sanguine or melancholy, if you're a choleric or a phlegmatic, if you are near me today, I am commanded by the Word of God to love you as my neighbor. If you're worthy or unworthy, I'm commanded to love you as much as God commands me. If you're a prig or a thug, I am to love you so long as Jesus commands. Ain't that right? If you're an introvert or an extrovert, as much as God commands me to do, I will pay the utmost farthing, amen. And if you're liked or disliked, hey, if you're small or great, if you're strong or weak, if you're known or unknown in this world, as much as lies within me, I am to command the word, obey the command of God, and to love you as my neighbor.
Yeah.
I'll let others correct my preaching if there's a fault with it. I'll let others chew at my legs if they want. I'll let others add footnotes and appendices to this sermon if they wish, but they shall not delete this biblical principle and precept, however hard they chisel, because it's etched in golden tablets, amen. Jesus said it, and that settles it. I'm to love my neighbor simply because he says so. That's right. Now listen, we like to quantify and qualify who we're going to love today and consider to be our neighbor. God said that ain't what I told you to do. You keep adding to the Word of God, and God's going to add to your life the plagues that's in this book. Hey, my friend, you and I to be the Christians God called us to be. You want to be a good neighbor? I don't care what they're showing you. You need to do what Jesus shows you. And you ought to love people simply because God says love them. You ought to give them a chance simply because God says give them a chance. Red or yellow, black or white, they're all precious in His sight.
Amen.
We ought to love our neighbor as ourselves because Jesus said it. That settles it. The Holy Spirit's in this commandment. Jesus is in this commandment. God Himself is in this commandment. The Church of Jesus Christ must not shy away from it, lest they be untrue to their name. I want to say this. Those living within the house of flesh, the womb, they are our neighbor. I'm talking about babies.
Amen.
Some may treat the unwanted unborn as social ills. And I tell you, nay. You may think of them, or they may think of them, as Samaritans or social outcasts. But Jesus said even their angels watch over them. Even angelic beings know that the babies are precious to God.
Amen.
However the world sees the unborn, God says they are your neighbor.
Right.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, whether you want it or not. whether you like them or not. Abortion is anti-Christian and is utterly wicked in the sight of heaven. And you can tell me on one side of your mouth, be a good neighbor. But the other side of your life is supportive of abortion. You are not being a good neighbor.
Right.
Now listen, here's the thing. I love my country and I love being a free country. I have a right to believe what I want to believe. I have a right to preach what I'm going to preach. And I'm glad I got a church that backs up this and believes what I'm preaching today. I'm not being mean. I'm not being unkind. I love my neighbor. I don't care what position or lack thereof they have. And I'm not always in agreement with everybody. But I'm not going to kill somebody because I disagree with them. Amen. I'm not going to murder somebody that don't have a chance. How many babies today, if they had a voice, would say, stop, you're killing me. Stop, you're killing me. And we're supposed to sit back and let our neighbor die. The way I see it, brother, those unborn babies is my neighbor. And somebody needs to love them and care for them and give them a shot at life. Don't tell me you love God and how you serve God in whatever capacity you do. Don't tell me that bunch of garbage. You're a bad example to other Christians. You make us look like hypocrites. You either jump all the way into this book or you hush your mouth altogether. Amen, that's right. I'm glad I got a church that believes in this book. I love everybody, don't get me wrong. If somebody disagrees with me, unless they're breaking in to harm my family, I'm not going to kill somebody. But yet, we see people that say one thing, and they actually are killing the unborn babies. Aren't they neighbors? Should we just be quiet about it?
Yes,
not me.
Come on.
Not Jesus. Not Jesus. It is not love to do that. Amen. Now I'm going to close with this. And I say this because being a neighbor is something that Jesus said was the second greatest of all the commandments. I just find it a little interesting in how much we've been hearing the word neighbor on TV and things of that nature. How many of you want to be a good neighbor? Honestly, everybody does. Everybody does. But what does Jesus say? As Christian people, we have the right to look to God and look to Jesus as our example. And I want to base my life on my Christian. I want to be a Christian here in Kentucky. Is if I go to Africa and serve as a missionary, I'm not changing.
Right.
I'm a Christian wherever I am. I'm to be a good neighbor wherever I am. If I'm over in Alaska somewhere on a mission trip, I'm supposed to still be a good neighbor and love the person that's nearest to me. Amen, that's right. Whether I like them or not, whether they're moral or not, whether they're Baptist or not, according to what Scripture says, I'm to love my neighbor. Whoever that at that particular point is near to me, I am to love him or her.
That's right.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now that's what the Bible teaches. I don't care what other preachers say, and they're going to jump, well, if they're doing this and they're doing that, okay, that's fine. But what about this? What are you going to say to this? See what I'm saying? In Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, I want to read this to you and I'll be done. Luke 10, 30. I will say this. I love my country. I love you. I love my neighbor. I need to do a better job at it. I want to be the Christian God wants me to be. And I know that you do too. You do. We all strive to be what God wants us to be. But there come times where God examines our hearts and he looks at our love and he puts his finger on something. And that's a time for us to either agree or disagree with God. And I don't know about you, but I just want to agree with whatever God says, I want to agree with. And that's what I was talking about, human sympathies. Our sympathies ought to be first and foremost to God.
Because if we sympathize with our fellow man, when it contradicts with God, if we're not careful, we're going to take the side of man and take the side of the world or the flesh, even the devil, and not take God's side. And that's not the position we need to be in. We need to just stand and stay with God.
Amen.
Right.
At all times. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus told a wonderful story about what it means to be a good neighbor. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, you would have thought he would have shown some mercy, him being a religious person and all, a priest and an officer in the church. You'd have thought he would have stopped by and helped out. But the Bible says he passed on the other side. You want to know why? Because this man was probably of a Samaritan nature. He was an outcast person. And so they didn't want to be defiled by helping this person out. And likewise, a Levite, here's another religious person. When he was at the place, he came and he looked on him. At least he stopped to look. And he thought, man, I should go down there and help. But what happened? He passed by on the other side. And Jesus said a third person came by and saw the poor fellow laying there half dead. And his name was, he was a Samaritan. Now when Jesus was telling his story, a Samaritan was an outcast of society to the Commonwealth of Israel. Israel did not like the Samaritans. They didn't fellowship with them. They didn't want to buy or trade anything with them. Even though they were neighborly to them locally on the map, geographically, they didn't want anything to do with them. They considered them to be a special type of a race of people that was under the judgment of God, and that they weren't even worthy to eat the crumbs of the Jewish faith and of the promises and hopes of the Messiah. But notice what happened. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where this fellow was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to him to the host and said, take care of him. In other words, he even paid for the host of the motel, if you would. Take care of him, and I'm gonna go, but here's some money. Make sure this poor fella gets what he needs taken care of. And when I come again, if there's anything that you spend more, when I come again, I'll repay you for it. Jesus turned to that fellow he was talking to, and he said, now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto them, him that fell among the thieves? And he answered, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Jesus said, which one was the neighbor?
Right.
Which one did the right thing? It was the one that stopped what he was doing. Even though they despised Samaritans, Jesus said, that Samaritan is showing you what a good neighbor really is. If you say that you love God, then prove it, Christian. If you say that you love God, then let us illustrate it with our allegiance to God today, right now. If there's something our country needs, I know what it is. It's this kind of love.
Amen.
Love for all people. Do you get what I'm saying? Love for all people, even babies that can't speak.
Amen.
They should be loved. You know, talk about all this racial injustice. Well, we're getting into everything tonight, aren't we? You know what they need? They just need to follow Jesus' commandment. White people need to love black people. Black people need to love white people. Why don't kids learn up? What would happen if in first grade, Sister Bonnie, kids were taught, love thy neighbor as thyself. In second grade, love thy neighbor as thyself. All the way up to middle school, before class starts, the principal gets on the intercom and says, welcome students to the first day of school. I want to read a rule that we're going to live by in this school. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't qualify it. Don't quantify it. Don't stipulate it. Don't give any conditions. Whoever is nearest to you today, regardless of what you may think, you are commanded to love them in Jesus' name. What's wrong with that? How bad could that get? But the problem is, people don't love their neighbors. They don't truly love them. They have faults against everybody. And then what's worse is, we as believers, God sees us. He knows what's in our heart. And there's people out there that can say, be a good neighbor. And they do some of the most wicked and ungodly, unneighborly things. You better make sure you're following Jesus. I need to make sure I'm following Jesus. You can learn from everybody and anybody. I do feel that the message tonight is probably going to, for a lot of people, it's going to get you fired up in a good way. It's going to get you stirred up. It's going to help you to be the Christian God's called you to be. And for some reason, I do feel in my spirit tonight, even right now, and I'm a little, I don't want to say stunned by it, I'm a little surprised, but I do feel that some folks out there may be resisting that, and I don't understand. I don't understand that. Somebody help me. How do you not understand that? How do you not understand? How does a person not get that? Brother Harvey, do you see what I'm saying? Brother Junior, do you see, does it make sense? Is it simple? I mean, it's, how does a person not get that as a believer? We're to love everybody.
Amen.
Just love them. If you can ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? How does Jesus feel about this? Just stick with Jesus. Just leave it in Jesus' hands. I'm going to have to one day, I'm going to stand before my Maker, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to wish I would have done things differently. But I'm not going to be sorry, because I told it like it is. I will never go to bed and lay down and say, you should have talked about that, but you didn't. God's going to say, you did a good job on that part.
Amen.
You did a good job on that part. But I wonder what other parts that he's going to say. Something else needed to change. I don't know. I don't know. Do we love our neighbor like we should? Do you love your neighbor like you should? Is somebody in here today? Maybe there's something in your life where you're not loving your neighbor like you should. What's the point in talking about everything else? These are the two most foundational things to our Christian heritage. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen, Isaac? So when you go to school or you go to college or whatever the case may be, you're going to meet all kinds of people, Naomi, and people that will be different than you. But if they're near to you at that moment, that is your neighbor, and you're to love them.
Right.
You understand, Sister Kenzie? There may be somebody around you at school that, hey, you just don't like the way they look, the way they smell, the way they dress, or the way they talk. Maybe they don't like you. I don't know why that would be, because you're an awesome person. Amen? But let's just say that was the case. According to the Bible, if they're near you, that is your neighbor at that given moment, and you are to love them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, if we did that, and everybody else did that, think of how much love would be in our country.
Right. Amen.
Wouldn't be more violence, shooting, killing one another? Well, who's going to start? Who's going to start doing that? Who's going to start being that agent of love? It ought to start right here. And the Bible says something, judgment must begin at the house of God. judgment. We need to make decisions right here in the house of God. Let's do that tonight. Amen?
Amen.
I try to not shake people's hands because I want to be a good neighbor. We stopped having in-service church because I wanted to be a good neighbor. We're having outdoor services because we want to be a good neighbor. I am trying to do my part. The church is trying to do our part. Don't be the kind of Christian that one side of your mouth says it one way and you're practicing on another half the opposite way.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? That's not being a good neighbor. That's not being a good neighbor. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I just ask that you just bow your head. Isaac, you can stop that.